Hello, this is Rabbi Dave Felsenthal, Mishnah Yomi. We're learning Para, the 10th Perek, Mishnah 1 and Mishnah 2. Kol haroi litame midras, madaf lechatas, bein tame bein tahor, v'adam kiyotze bo. So whatever is susceptible to midrash impurity has madaf regarding chatas, whether ritually impure or pure. And the same applies to man. Kol haroi letame tame mes, bein tame bein tahor, Rabbi Eliezer omer einu madaf, Rabbi Yeshua omer madaf, v'chachamim omerim tame madaf, atar einu madaf. Whatever is susceptible to corpse tuma, impurity, whether impure or pure, Rabbi Eliezer says does not have madaf, Rabbi Yeshua says has madaf, and the sages say that the impure has madaf, but the pure does not have madaf. So, furniture such as taught in several places that serves for sitting or lying, on which a zav sat, reclined, or stood, is an avatuma, and it renders humans and vessels impure by touch, as well as rendering humans impure by carrying and moving. However, the midrash impurity for Kaddish and for Chatas is a rabbinic fence for stricter purity decreed by the sages for Kodesh and Chatas water. So therefore, the term Madaf impurity, which is derived from the Pasuk Kol Ala Nadaf, the sound of a Nadaf, a leaf, in other words, a light impurity. So this Mishnah is teaching which things have Madaf impurity, this light impurity, regarding a Chatas. Now, the controversy in this Mishnah can be explained by the Rambam, that a man pure for chatas closed the door, and while closing it, moved a key that was attached to it. Rav Eliezer holds that even if the key had corpse impurity, the man who closed the door remains pure for chatas, so he can collect and sanctify and sprinkle as before. But Rav Yeshua holds that even with a ritually pure key, the closer of the door becomes impure for chatas, because he moved the key. And the sages hold that if the key had corpse impurity, the closer of the door became impure for chatas because he moved an impure key. But if the key was pure, the door closer remains pure for chatas. Mishnah 2. Hator lechatas shenaga b'madaf tame. So if a man ritually impure for chatas touched madaf, he is impure. Lagin shelchatas shenaga b'madaf tame. A chatas flagin that touched madaf is impure. Hatar lechata shenaga beochlim ubamashkim biyado tame baraglo raglo tahor. If a man pure for chatas touched food or liquid with his hand, he is impure. With his foot, he is pure. Hesitan biyado, Rav Yeshua mitame v'chamim mitarim. If he moved them with his hand, Rav Yeshua declares him impure, but the sages declare him pure. So in the last Mishnah, we connected a madaf for a chatas with midras impurity with regard to chatas water, a light rabbinically imposed impurity, guarding the stringent purity of the chatas water. Another kind of light madaf impurity is the uppermost utensil of a zav. Thus, if there are 1,000 mattresses piled upon one another and a zav sits or reclines on the uppermost, all, even the bottom ones which he did not touch, become primary sources of impurity, rendering humans and vessels impure due to the midras of a zav. Similarly, if there are on top of the zav 1,000 items, even if they're not designed for reclining or sitting, all contract madaf impurity. Even those items with the zav did not touch, all acquire this light impurity that renders food and liquids impure. All the items underneath him designed for reclining or sitting, even though he does not touch them, contract midras impurity and convey impurity to the person who touches them and to his garments, and madaf on top of him, rendering food and liquids impure, all the items on top of him also. But with the uppermost mattress of a zav, likewise term madaf is explained above. So in the first part of the Mishnah, we explain according to the Rambam and the Rosh, the Bartanua, that in order for us to obtain a clear understanding of this section, we're going to have to elucidate this a little bit. The language of the Mishnah shows that this section is a continuation of the previous Mishnah's preoccupation with Madaf. However, this would create a discrepancy between this and the previous Mishnah's teaching. This section implies that only if one pure for chatas touched the madaf is he rendered impure, and the previous Mishnah implied that madaf regarding chatas conveys impurity even by being carried or moved. The Gra reads here, if a man pure for chatas carried a madaf, he is pure, explaining that the previous Mishnah did not teach the law of madaf regarding chata, but defined what is and what is not madaf regarding chata, but not what the law is. So this Mishnah follows the concluding part of the previous Mishnah and does explain the law of madaf regarding chatat, that it renders impure the person pure for chatas, even by carrying, but a vessel pure for chatas only by touch. However, the way we read the Mishnah, the subject cannot be reconciled according to this plain sense. So therefore, the commentators conclude that our Mishnah does not refer to madaf chatas, but to madaf zav, whose uppermost mattress is also termed madaf. Now we might still ask, why need our Mishnah tell us that the uppermost mattress of a zav, considered impure by rabbinic enactment, conveys impurity to one pure by chatas by touch, when even a vessel which is utterly pure, if susceptible to midras or corpse impurity, will convey impurity to one pure for chatas by touch? So as explained, only regarding carrying and moving are the Tanaim divided. Whether something susceptible to corpse impurity but not susceptible to midras is a madaf regarding chatas, but regarding touch, all admit that it conveys impurity. So the Kesef Mishnah answers, that explains the Mishnah statement, that even the previous Mishnah statement, that even a pure vessel conveys impurity to one pure for chatas by touch, refers specifically to the hand, but not if it was touched by the body. So our Mishnah teaches that the uppermost mattress of a zav conveys impurity to one pure for chatas by any kind of touch, including that of his body. Tomorrow we will learn Mishnah 3 and Mishnah 4.